five verses actually. We're going to read from chapter 3, verse 8 through 12 in the book of Exodus. The Bible says, "So I have come down." God has come down. Amen? God has come near. So he says, I'll go back to 7. "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt." They sounded like Isaac. You know, all that screaming and crying going out to God, though. He says, "I have heard their crying because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Doesn't that just sound great? Milk and honey. You know, I don't even like honey that much, but just thinking about it, man, it just sounds good. "A land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you, Moses. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, it's not good when you get a but, right? God is no buts when God is speaking to us. Can I get a witness on that? But Moses said to God, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites up out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, many of us need to hear. Lord, many of us challenged. Many of us off track. Lord, many of us need to get on track. Some of us taking steps, Lord, getting on track, faltering, Lord, needing a guidance from you, Lord. Your Spirit would come alongside and direct us, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning as you met Moses on the mountaintop that you would meet us here, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us direction, and we will give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Well, last night was a monumental night for me. Well, I guess it wasn't that all that monumental. I decided to make catfish, okay? And this catfish called my name, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to cook. So I said, okay, I'll make this catfish. And you know, they got this show we sometimes watch called Restaurant Impossible. I don't know if it's on History or one of them channels. But this guy goes into this just savage restaurant and fixes it all up. And he normally, you know that? Yeah, I see Mike. And they'll give you some directions, recipes, you know. And so I'm out of cooking. I said, you know, I'm going to cook up this catfish. And I beat up some eggs, you know, and I put it in eggs and I put it in a flour. And, you know, I put salt on it, you know. I put some salt on it. And, you know, I heated up that pan and I started frying that catfish. And you know what? That stuff was good, man. I mean, man, oh, man. I never cooked fish like that. This guy knows what he's talking about. He never even taught me. I just kind of figured it out. And you know what I did? I said, hey, anybody who wants catfish, come and get it. And Joe said, I ate right before I got home. And Leanne goes, I don't like fish. And Lisa was like, moving slow. She said, actually, I had some chicken soup. And I got all this great stuff. I mean, it was good, man. It was crunchy on the outside. I was digging it. And Lisa did come and eat some later. And Joe waited until it was cold until he had it. But the response I got was, nah, I don't think so. We're not really interested in what you prepared for us. And as we come to Moses, that's the answer he's got for God. Not so interested in what you've got for me. Didn't want any. We're in a series called Preparing a People. A real problem. The people of God often don't want the things of God. Can I get a witness on that? That is a problem when the people of God don't want the things of God. Realistically, you have to ask yourselves whether or not they are truly indeed the people of God. We look at this story and we see the people of God wanting a change. They are crying out of their misery. They are crying out in their slavery. And God hears their cry. And God is on the job. Amen? God is already on the job. In fact, 80 years before, we read 2 weeks ago, beginning of Exodus, that God had miraculously caused Moses to be born and to be spared from the being killed by Pharaoh's agents. This miraculous thing. Right? Are you tracking with me? The birth of Moses is a big deal. God is preparing a redeemer. And Moses got that thing in his heart going on where he is going to help his people. He sees the Egyptian mistreating a Jew, and he kills the Egyptian. And Pharaoh finds out. His people throw him under the bus. The guy who he saved ends up telling everybody, and Pharaoh finds out, and now Moses is on the run from Pharaoh. They want him for murder. He runs all the way from up here, Goshen, and up here where, you know, Pharaoh and all them people are, all the way to the land of Midian. Look that up this morning. It's about 400 or 500 miles. That ain't 400 or 500 miles, you know, taking a 747. It ain't 400 or 500 miles like Pastor Dave, you know, drives back and forth to Minnesota in whatever car he's bought this month. No, man, this is like walking 400 to 500 miles. This is like if you're doing good, you're maybe riding a donkey or you're riding in a cart. Oh, yeah, who wants to ride 400 or 500 miles in a cart? Can I get a witness on that? Who wants to ride a donkey 400 or 500 miles? Who wants to walk 400 or 500 miles? And so we've got our Redeemer, and he's done messed everything up. He has pushed the plan of God. He has run ahead on his own steam, on his own power, and now he's wanted for murder back where he is supposed to be active for God. Different direction. God had something else completely in mind. Comes back to Moses and says, I think it's time to get back on track. And Moses is not all that excited about it. You come in here this morning. How are you doing? Did I tell you what? In my life, I done messed up so much. Anybody relate? Made some choices in your life. Got ahead of God. Just started going your own direction. Got way, 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 way far away. Last week we talked about however far away you are from God, for how far you are away from his plan for your life, it's still not too late to get back on track. Amen? Today we're going to talk about Moses getting that message from God. We're talking about Moses getting a new direction. And maybe perhaps we'll get something for us. Amen? Amen. Let's take a look. All right. Moses said to God, who am I? Why me, God? God is getting on track. God is hearing the people, the cry of his people. Moses is hiding out 400 miles away. Why me, God? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites up out of Egypt? What have you got in mind? Has God asked you to do big things? Has God asked you to do things, maybe some things that you've been hiding from a long time? Amen? Has God ever asked you to do something that you really didn't want to do? Amen? You know what? I found that when God asked me to do something, he asked me to do big things. God does not come and say, change the oil in your car. That ain't nothing. Right? When God calls me to do something, it is something I cannot do on my own. And that is what Moses is feeling. Why me? Why have you singled me out? We're talking 2 or 3 million Jews here. Pharaoh likes those Jews working for him. He is working them hard. I know Pharaoh. And that's part of the problem. Moses knows Pharaoh. He grew up in Pharaoh's household. He said, Pharaoh's no joke, and Pharaoh is hunting me for murder. I've got all kinds of problems. And I don't know that I can handle this. I tried what you're talking about 40 years ago. Didn't work out well. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm hiding. That's why I'm tending sheep. And I'm thinking Moses, rolling through Moses' mind, saying, this plan is bigger than me. This plan is bigger than what I can handle. And I guarantee you, God comes to you with his plan, it is more than you can handle. Amen? Continue on. And God said, I'll be with you. I'm not going to send you out there alone. I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God right here. I'm going to not leave you alone. I will go with you, God said. We'll do this together. Wherever you got a gap, I'll fill that gap. Now, I want you to remember where we're at on this, okay? Because we kind of hit this last week, and I don't know how good this picture is, but this is some old school painting. This is Moses kneeling before the burning bush. We can lose sight of the miraculous setting that this truly is. That God, or that Moses is experiencing God in the most tangible way. I mean, realistically, you can make a case that this is Moses' first meeting with God. He knows nothing of God. And this is a rather spectacular meeting. So they're having this discussion. The bush is burning, and Moses saying, why me? God says, I won't send you out alone. I'll go with you. And it does not appear to have much of an impact on Moses as we read ahead. I'll be with you. Big whoop. And I think Moses is in his mind is thinking, I don't think I can do this, and I don't think you're big enough to help me do this. Moses didn't have an accurate picture of God. And he says, I'll give you proof. He says, this will be a sign to you that it's I who sent you. When you brought the people up out of Egypt, you'll worship right here. And I'm thinking Moses might be just rolling through his head. That's not really the proof I'm looking for. I mean, if you're going to give me some proof on this, I'd like to have proof before the event, not after the event. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, your proof after the event is no help to me now in my doubt. God, I'm looking for something a little bit more right now. And remember what's going on? He's looking at the burning bush. God, I need a little bit something more. A real problem here is we want all the proof on the front end. When you get proof on the front end, there's not faith. God calls us to faith. God says he's going to turn his people into worshipers. I'll tell you what, worship team was pretty hot today. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, there was some new stuff going on. I thought Ed was going to just shoot through the ceiling over here. He was just going off. And it was good. Nice patch, by the way, on that guitar, bro. God says, you know what? We're gonna set the people free from Egypt. We're going to plunder Egypt. We are going to take Canaan from the Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites, all those people. And on the way, you are going to become worshipers. When God calls us to any great work, all those ladies that went up for the training, any of you that are doing it, reason... We like you to be involved in ministry here because as you minister, you will learn to worship. Not just because you're coming to church and singing, but because you are relying upon the Lord. Richard, you're back there, you're doing stuff. As you've been back there and have responsibilities, showing up, doing all that stuff, having tension, weight, everybody going, Richard, has it caused you to lean upon the Lord more? See, when you're teaching class, when you're cooking, right, George, I mean, you're going, Lord, please don't let me burn this food. And I'm telling you, man, sometimes the Lord will just take that burn right off your food. As you walk through your life with the Lord, it will cause you to worship. And that is a sign that you are the people of God. God will give them a way. He says, He says, you're going to become worshipers. Much of the book of Exodus is the making and the building and the preparation and the moving and all that stuff of what's called the tabernacle. How many of you ever heard of the tabernacle? Some of you heard of the tabernacle and say, I have no clue what the tabernacle is. The tabernacle is a tent in which they have church. It's a tent. Okay. And they got, it's complicated how they make it, all that kind of stuff. But God says, I'm going to make this tent, and you guys are going to array the 2 to 3 million people all around this tent. When you camp, you're all going to camp in a specific orientation to the tent. When you march, you're going to have a different orientation, and you're going to march in orientation to the tent. I'm going to set you free from slavery, and I'm going to give you a way to live in relationship to me. And we call that worship. And if you are a child of God, the more you hang around God, the more you hang around God's people, the more you will worship. Amen? I got a text from Blanca. Actually, I said, how's it going? And she texted me back. And she says, I am loving this. You know, I have been on Blanca for how long to teach? I think 3 years, man. I mean, maybe I was thinking about it more before I even brought it up. I'd be thinking about it, and then she'd be gone, or, it's like, and then a year ago, come on. And haven't been seeing any growth. And she sends me this thing back. And she says, I am loving this training thing. She says, soon, with the grace of God, you're going to see a brand new Blanca. Isn't that good? That's good, girl. I said, can I use this? She said, just as long as you don't make me stand up. I said, okay. I might point you out. But that's the thing. See, Moses, man, he's all messed up. He's all tore up. And as he begins to respond to the call of God, his life begins to become a life of worship. He says, that's the sign that I've called. Get it? All right, let's go. Are we okay? You good in the back? You hearing me okay? That's good. Yeah, it's not. I point at you. There you go. Moses is still looking for more. Moses hasn't reached the Blanca point yet. He says, who are you? Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. When you're talking about an infinite God, amen? An infinite God, I am that I am. He says, I am that I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you to me. The Lord, that's Jehovah, Yahweh, however you want to pronounce it. The Lord, whenever you see in your Bible, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the word, that Jewish word, Yahweh or Jehovah, depending on how you pronounce it. I'm going to get technical on you right now. But that's what that means. And so it says, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. That's a big statement. Amen? What if they want to know who you are? What if they start questioning me? You know, I'm going back kind of cold here. It's been 40 years. Can you remember 40 years ago? When I was 40 years ago, I was 11 years old. I was a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout or something. I was way different. And if I went and saw all those Boy Scouts that I was camping with, many of them probably wouldn't remember who I was. And you know what? Moses didn't even grow up with his people. He grew up with Pharaoh. He says, man, I'm going back. You know, in fact, I tried doing this 40 years ago, and they threw me under the bus. I helped out this one guy, and he told everybody, and pretty soon, Pharaoh's looking for me. So if they ask me, who sent you? Because I'm not going to be able to get in there on my own authority, my own credibility. I need to have an answer for them. Who do I tell them? I think Moses had some questions in his mind. Just really, who are you? And he says, hey, I'm the same I've ever been.
I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Truth is truth. I don't change.
Bible talks about Jesus. See, Jesus having the same plan, the same change is not. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the plan of God is consistent. And many people don't really want the plan of God. Oh, that old thing. I'm trying to find something a little bit more innovative. I'm trying to find something a little bit more new than that. And for the people back in Egypt, the truth of God was slavery. Truth of God was slavery. No. We want something new. This is the God that for 400 years has had us in slavery. We're looking for something a little bit more innovative than that. Truth can be a challenge. There are many people in the church, many people around that do not want the truth. Rather have a lie. But when you're going to find a change in your life, when you're going to find a new direction in your life, you're going to have to face the truth. Because sometimes truth just hurts. Thank you for that, Johnny. Sometimes the truth just flat out hurts. And oftentimes the truth is, you take a look at Moses' life. Moses has messed up his life. Many of us have messed up our lives, and we are reaping the reward of the decisions that we have made. And we'd rather just have a God that'll just whitewash it all away. My daughter and I have a little challenge of late. We're going through economics together. And I'm doing the correcting. And you know what? As crazy as it seems, she hands me the paper. And she really doesn't want it corrected. She just wants it approved. Boom. You know what I'm talking about? And I start going by, oh, we got to fix this. Oh, what? We got to fix this. We got to fix this. What? 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 That's not the relationship I'm looking to have here. And when the Lord comes into your life and says, this is what I'm looking to correct here, that's not what I'm looking for. I'd rather have Santa. Santa just comes and brings presents. And you never correct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says he's still backpedaling. Where's he at? He's in front of the burning bush. I'm challenged by the amount of backpedaling that Moses is doing standing in front of the burning bush. Can you relate to what I'm trying to convey to you here? I would think, oh, Lord, you're the God of the burning bush. Okay, what do you want? He says, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say the Lord didn't appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what's in your hand? A staff, he replied. And the Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and became like a snake, and he ran from it. Where's he at? In front of the burning bush. A little sign, you know, if the Lord appears to you and he says, what do you have in your hand? And you got a pencil or whatever, and you throw it on the ground and it turns into a snake, don't run. It's a God thing. You know, God's under control. Trust God enough not to run away from the miracles that he's doing. I'm trying to paint a picture of this, okay? Moses is struggling here. He says, reach your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out, took a hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff. And this, said the Lord, is so that they can believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. He says, show me your hand. Stick it inside your jacket. Stick it inside your cloak. He sticks it inside of his cloak, and it comes out, and it's covered with leprosy. Oh my. To this day, there is no cure for leprosy. It's a long death. And he pulls that out. I would imagine that God has his attention. It would be like having, what's that stuff that eats your flesh away? That flesh-eating virus stuff? What? MRSA? There's some other stuff too. Some Ebola or something. Or AIDS, or a Pastor Scott talked about having cancer last week. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You go, whoa, that's not the news I was looking for. Just put it back in. I would imagine he did not delay on that. Now take a look. Woo! Oh my. And then he says, if they don't believe the staff, they don't believe the leprosy thing. I don't know if I want to do the leprosy thing again. He says, you take some of the water, pour it out take it out of the Nile and pour it on the ground. It's going to turn into blood. Flat out miracles, folks. Flat out, straight on, dead on miracles. Appearing to Moses before the burning bush. And he says, this display is so that they can believe, and I think as well, it was so that Moses could believe. I don't want to have any doubts between you and I, Moses. I want to know that you know who's talking to you. And so I'm going to do a little something special for you here. Jesus did that. Bible talks about in John chapter 20, 30 and 31, key point of the whole book of John, the Gospel of John. It says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs and wonders in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written down. Take a look at the miracles that are in the Gospel of John that are in the Bible. It says, these are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. God will prove himself to you. And then it's on you to receive it and to be transformed. God reveals himself to us so that we can believe him for great things. And I think, you know, Moses is saying, hey, you know what? You are asking me to risk my entire life here. I'm going to go back to Egypt and they are going to want to kill me. And if God's going to have you do mighty things, he's going to have you take a risk. And it is a scary thing. And I would imagine Moses is freaking out on that mountain at this point. 25 years ago, give or take a year, God spoke to my heart. He's a totally different way. But I have been saved maybe a year. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe a year and a half. And we went on a missions trip down to Tecate, to an orphanage. I ended up working there for 3 years with Lisa. But it's first time down there, and we went to a service in the Tijuana dump. And people would forage through garbage and all that kind of stuff. And the ministry had built a church right there in the dump. And they would have service there. We were doing the service, and my pastor was preaching. And this lady, she reminded me of Elsie. Just kind of reminded me of Elsie, her height. And she had a baby. The baby was probably a year old, maybe a little bit less, maybe like 8 months old. And the pastor had called anybody forward for healing. And that mom, I don't know what's wrong with that kid. Cold, I don't think he was dying or nothing. Something was going on with that kid, and that mama brought that baby up for my pastor to pray on him. And he was praying on him, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, if I don't heal that boy, there's no doctor tomorrow. I didn't take that to mean he was going to die. But it's like, I am it for these people. And I was blown away. I mean, tears just began to roll down my face. And I just had to go out of the church. And I went out the side of the church. And around the church, in the dump in Tijuana, is a graveyard. Now, I don't care where you live. Nobody wants to be buried at the graveyard, at the garbage dump, right? And it's way Catholic there. And so they got little statues, and they got crosses, and they got colors, and they got everything. And it's on this kind of like rolling hills. And so it's like, as far as I can see, all I can see is this rolling graveyard. And the words of God, if I don't heal them, there is nothing else. And I'm losing it. And I'm seeing all these graves, and I'm just like overwhelmed with the pain and the drama. I said, Lord, this is too much for me. And he said, what you feel right here, I feel back in Sacramento where you live. Oh.
cannot handle it. And I'm walking around this church, and there's just, it's like the graveyard just goes and goes and goes. I go, Lord, I need something. I need something. And I come around the corner, and these two little kids come running up to me. And they each grab me by a hand. I'm just a mess. I would imagine they don't even know. And we got this guy dressed up as a cheesy clown, and we're handing out hot dogs and tortillas. And I'm telling you what, I come around that corner, and it is like a celebration. My life was transformed that day. Now maybe Blanca's life was transformed to a degree yesterday. And as God speaks to your heart, as God reveals to you who He is and what He wants from you, you will be transformed. And it is a scary thing because He will call you something bigger than what you are. Amen? All right. There are those who say no. Moses said no. Some people in this room might have said no. You might have said no. He says, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said, "Who gave man his mouth? He goes, I made you. I know how you tick. I knit you in your mother's womb. I know how you're made, and I'm calling you, and you and I can handle this." He says, "Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." That is a promise of, if not victory, if not success, of at least a progress. Amen? When the Lord, when the Creator of the universe says to you, "I will help you speak, I will teach you what to say, now go," I think the appropriate response is, "Yes, Lord." And Moses says, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." There are those who say no. Maybe you have told the Lord no. Again, where are we at? The burning bush. His hand has just been leprous and been cleansed. He's got the snake by the tail. Lord, could you just send somebody else? I'm not good enough, and I don't really know that you're good enough to make me good enough to do it. He says, "I know everything about you, son. I made you just like you are, and just like you are, I'll fill every gap. I'll come down, and we'll set my people free. I think I'll just stay where I am." God says, "We could lead 2 to 3 million people out of Egypt. We'll plunder Egypt. We'll take their wealth. We'll take the land of Canaan." And Moses says, "I think I'll just stay with the sheep." Curse of the people of God. "I think I'll just stay where I am." He had learned how to hide 40 years earlier. He had learned how to run 40 years earlier. And right now, God was calling him in a new direction. Maybe right now, there's a stinging no in your soul that has come out over and over and over and over again to the Lord. And the Lord right now is speaking to your heart and saying, "It is time to take that no and turn it into a yes." Now, I was so excited, Ed. He called Lisa yesterday and said, We're gonna do a little Spanish thing maybe we can do a Spanish thing with Sandra, and he got all this music thing going on and doing all this stuff. And I was like, yes. I mean, Ed has got more hours of music than everybody else up on this stage, and it's just opening that spigot up and let the Lord go in and do some stuff. Say, God, yes. I don't know what you got going on in your life, but you can say yes. Went back to Sacramento. Man, I tell you what, I was different. New direction. God will give you a new direction. God will call you to something new. Just let somebody else do it. And the Lord gets angry. Oh, God doesn't get angry. Not my God. My God's kind of like Santa. Oh, he doesn't get angry. Then the Lord's anger burned. Would you say burned? Yeah. Now, when you talk about anger, and then you talk about burning anger, I mean, how many people think burning anger is bigger than just regular anger? I'm with you, yeah. Burning anger is like big anger. The Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother? Aaron the Levite. I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he, you know, God, what's Aaron doing on his way? 40 years been out of town. Aaron's already on the way. Aaron's already in the mix. What about Aaron? Aaron said, oh, okay, Aaron, here's the problem. Moses would more like to lean on Aaron than lean on the Lord. My question, what are you leaning on more than the Lord today? Where is your confidence? Where is your strength? Where is your purpose? Where is your comfort? Because as Aaron showed up, I mean, Aaron had a plan. Because of Moses' doubt, because of Moses' lack of faith, Aaron gets slid up the food chain. He says, you're going to talk to Aaron. You'll be like God to Aaron. And they moved Aaron up, and guess what? Aaron messed up. If you remember your Old Testament, it was Aaron that made the golden calf. He was in a role he shouldn't have been in. You know who could have got it done was Joshua, man. Joshua was hanging with Moses. And so often we tell God no. And the Lord's not going to force you into a yes. And the Lord's not going to force you into his plan. And so often the Lord settles for second best. Because Aaron was as good as he was going to get that day. And that's what he settled for. We're going to go to Egypt. We're going to take the set the people free. We're going to plunder Egypt. Nah, stay with the sheep. Oh, I'll take Aaron. Problem with the people of God, we give God second best. The plan of God is bigger than you can handle. At least you want to come up for, we'll close our time. God calling you to something this today. I mean, it might be something in your home. It might be something in your job. It might be teaching kids. And there's a whole lot of stuff that goes behind teaching kids. Amen? I was talking to, somebody about our old pastor. Told his wife, remember he said this from the pulpit. He said, don't even go down the booze aisle. He says, I don't want anybody in our church. He goes, people are everywhere. 10,000 people in this church. You know, oh, yeah, Pastor Cole's wife, man, hitting the bottle. He says, no, he goes, if there's something that you need on that aisle, go buy it at a different store. I don't even want you going down that aisle. Why? Because there's a lot more to teaching than just teaching. There's a lot more to your witness. And as God calls you to do a mighty thing, it is big and it is risky. It might be in your home, might be at your workplace, might be right here. But you'll need him to get it done. You'll need him for a new direction. Amen? Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are here among us, that you guide and direct us, Lord. And that you have called so many, Lord, so many here to new direction and a new purpose and new cause in their life. Lord, that you are mighty and awesome in this place and that you are mighty to call and that your voice rings this morning, Lord. And this morning, I trust by your Spirit, Lord, that you have spoken to hearts, Lord. Hearts that are in bondage, hearts that are living in fear, hearts that are on the run.
time to deal with truth. It's risky dealing with truth. Truth is big. Challenges are big. But I thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave us or forsake us, Lord, that you walk through every challenge with us, Lord. That together we can. And Lord, that you guide me through challenges and that you'll guide each person here through challenges. The challenging message this morning, challenge, bring it to you. Not a little bow tie that happens at the end of it, making it all happy. Moses said no. Maybe you can relate. Maybe today's the day that you say yes. And I know he's calling you to something savagely hard and difficult for you. If it wasn't, he wouldn't be calling you. And nobody's looking around. But I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for you this week. And I want to check in with you. I'm going to say that thing that God was talking to you about on Sunday. You don't have to share it with me if you don't want to. You can. But I want to check with you because I'm going to be praying for you by name. Power of the Lord would take you through this challenge. I want to pray for you. If you are ready to get a new direction in your life, and I'm not talking about getting saved. You can do that too. But I'm talking about this challenge that God is speaking right to your heart. Going to set you free. Going to empower you to overcome. Find new truth, new fullness in your life with nobody looking around. God is speaking to your heart and you know exactly what it is. You're saying, Lord, I'm ready to go. I am ready to do this thing. I'll have pastor praying for me. And Lord, we're going to find victory together. That's you this morning. Nobody looking around. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me. Right here. And there. And there. And here. Anybody else? Anybody else? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Right back there. One moment more. Anybody else? And say, okay, God. Okay, you got a yes out of me. Lord Jesus, for these four, Lord. I'm going to pause just a minute because I got to remember who you are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5. Lord Jesus, for these five, Lord, I commit to pray and just lift them up to you, Lord, each day this week, Lord. I'm going to check in with them, Lord. Lord, I don't know what area of their life, Lord, that you have called them to victory in. But Lord, I pray your Spirit come and empower and equip them to overcome every obstacle, Lord, that we might find new direction in you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Stan, we're going to sing one song. He's going to sing it for us. If you want prayer, come on up. If you raise your hand and you want to do this new thing, I'll pray and anoint you with oil. Glad you came today, girl. Cool.